Kids Comics.
And here are your hosts, Michael and Andrew Leyland.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
And welcome back to Hey Kids Comics.
Two.
Yes, we've decided on the two, haven't you? Yes.
Did we?
Yes.
Oh, right.
You did.
Right.
I think you decided that it was Hey Kids Comics 2.
It's punchy.
Yes.
And everyone loves a sequel.
Yes. Well, if a sequel's good, they love a sequel.
It's true.
If it's like The Godfather 2 or Star Trek 2 or The Empire Strikes Back, everyone's like, oh yeah, sequels are great.
Yeah.
If it's Jaws 2, people are a bit...
And what we really need to do is go away for even longer and come back for the third one. And that's when things are really on the ropes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're quite Highlander 2.
No, yeah.
Which is the nadir of sequels. Is there a higher summit to fall from between Highlander and Highlander 2?
The Highlander TV show?
No, the Highlander TV show's good.
Right, yeah.
I like the Highlander TV show.
Well, does that
show
not come in the middle as kind of like a little bump on the way down?
No, the Highlander TV show is... It's like a sidequel.
Right.
Because Duncan is in the first episode of the Highlander TV show.
Okay.
No, Duncan's the central character in the Highlander. Right. He's in every episode. Yeah. Connor is in the pilot.
Okay.
And he's in the movie that followed the TV show.
Okay.
And Connor dies.
But he's immortal.
And Duncan takes on the mantle of the last surviving Highlander.
Okay.
Yeah. It didn't make a lot of sense if you think about it.
I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. I don't think my Highlander trivia is really that extensive.
You've not watched enough Highlander?
I don't think I've seen... The film. I know I've seen bits of the TV show because I think you were watching.
I used to watch it all the time.
School.
Yeah. You were little. Your mum would work evenings. Remember, right. She worked in the pub.
I don't remember this far back. I think you were rewatching it before we went to work.
Oh, right.
I went to school. So okay, I think you rewatched it.
I have rewatched it since. Yeah. It used to get run in the mornings.
I don't remember as far back as to mum working evenings. So
right.
Was,
well, you were in bed when I would watch Highlander the series.
Okay.
So you're right. Yeah. Yeah. But Highlander is on iPlayer.
Okay.
And right. I think you should tonight, Dana.
Yeah.
Tonight you should say I want to watch Highlander.
Okay.
And tonight you'll watch Highlander, and I want you to watch Highlander.
Right.
As unexpurgated, uninfluenced by the fact that the sequels that follow are garbage.
Well, I've never seen them, so...
So there you go.
Yeah.
So you can just watch that, because the first one ends.
Okay.
If ever there was ever a film...
Yeah.
Other than The Terminator and Jaws...
That had no room for
that
a sequel.
That didn't invite a sequel.
Well, okay, Jaws does, because, you know, there are other sharks.
Yes, but those other sharks are targeting a family.
That's How do we know?
Those other sharks don't care.
If whales can sing to each other, then how do we know that sharks don't follow a trailer around? All right,
I'll give you Jaws then. Okay. If we accept the ludicrous premise that a shark can target a family. Them Schneiders. Well, Brodies. They were Brodies, weren't they? Them Brodies. They're responsible for our animals coming over into our water, stealing our fish. That's exactly what the sharks did. Yeah, so they targeted the Brodies. So, okay, right. We will go with that faintly ridiculous premise.
Yeah.
But Highlander ends. There's no room for a sequel,
yeah.
As there isn't with The Terminator. The difference being when The Terminator made a sequel, the person in charge was vaguely intelligent and went, well, okay, how do I make a sequel to a film that does not invite a sequel?
Yeah.
Whereas the Highlander guys went,
See, but my knowledge of Highlander kind of begins and ends with the soundtrack.
It's a very good soundtrack.
I mean, I did do one awful, awful drunken night after 2-for-1 cocktails. I did do Princes of the Universe at karaoke before quickly remembering that after the first, yeah, I don't know the words.
See, I do. I know because it's the opening theme to the TV show.
Yeah. So I knew the beginning bit. I did the beginning bit. I don't think I did the beginning bit well. I preemptively did a ha. And then when I did do the ha, I was incredibly proud of myself. And I would love to say that, you know, there is no video footage of this performance. But unfortunately,
there is
video
footage
of this performance.
Well, if you want, I will put video footage of this performance up with this as an extra bonus feature.
We'll see how I feel.
See if you can find
exactly.
It.
Oh, I can find it. I like to bring it up to... So people can, like, if I meet people... I don't kind of like...
You don't encourage that behaviour, meeting people.
I try not to, but it's kind of like, instead of like an icebreaker, I just show them that video and I'm like, this is me, distilled into the purest form. You make your decision as to where this goes. And 9 times out of 10, people want nothing to do with me.
Very
it's,
sensible.
It's perfect.
Yeah. All right, well, today's episode is nothing to do with Highlander.
It's not.
Although I do believe there have been Highlander comics.
Okay, so we'll have to do Highlander.
So
at some point.
I don't own any of them. So this involves minor, me finding them and spending money. Yes. So I wouldn't hold your breath, Highlander fans, about that happening. It may happen. I'm not ruling anything out.
Yeah.
But you would have to have a frame of reference.
Stranger things have happened. Someone out there now is packaging up their Highlander comics.
Oh, please let that be true. I would gladly take them off your hands. Because I am a comics whore. But you would have to actually watch some Highlander.
Yeah.
So nice. If you watch Highlander tonight, white and iPlayer for free.
Yeah.
You've done your prep.
Okay.
For the show that may never happen.
I'd have to watch the rest of it, though.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You could watch that first film and then move on with your life. And never watch any other Highlander ever again.
Okay.
And then when this Henry Cavill remake comes out, right. If it ever does.
Yeah.
It will just be a remake to the 1986 original and not the 74 dreadful sequels that followed.
So if I ever get the urge to see what happens to the rest of the Clan MacLeod, don't.
They get killed. That's all you need to know.
They're immortals.
No, they're not. Only Connor is an immortal. Oh,
they're aliens.
Yes. Right. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, they're aliens. Yeah, yeah. They're from the planet Zaid or something like that.
Right, okay.
Seed, something like that. I forget. It was utter bollocks when it was made, and Sean Connery's there going, oh, I have got a fantastic paycheck for showing up for this piece of shit film. So, but I don't encourage that you watch any of the others.
Okay.
Anyway, today we're doing Dragon Ball Z.
Or Z.
Dragon Ball Z.
Which side of the Z spectrum
am I on? As you've pointed out, Dragon Ball fans are not rabid.
Although, I don't know. There's a lot of them out there. They might be keeping their rabidness under wraps. So
you told me they weren't rabid like Star Wars fans.
I could have just lied to you. I'm not
so
sure.
By saying Dragon Ball Z, have I put a target on my back?
Potentially.
Right, okay. Dragon Ball Z.
Z, Z. If we do both, if we record two different versions.
Yes, yeah, and you can, through seamless branching, you can choose
your own Z path.
Yeah, which version you want to listen to, Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball Z.
Just like the Z, we zig and we zag.
And Zig and Zag could host it. Do you remember Zig and Zag? Do you not remember the Big Breakfast? Are you too young to remember the Big Breakfast?
No.
Oh, Zig and Zag were the puppets. Okay. Zig and Zag were the puppets from the planet Zog.
Of course
that
they were.
That interviewed the celebrities on the bed. Okay. They would all lie on the bed.
Right, okay.
And Zig and Zag would interview the celebrities.
British TV was wild. God,
yeah.
Did they ever host Top of the Pops?
Oh, I hope Zig and Zag hosted Top. If Zig and Zag hosted Top of the Pop, please let us know. In fact, I'll Google it when we finish recording.
Right.
I think I should.
Yeah.
Oh, they should have done, because they were 90s icons, man.
Of course.
If the Spice Girls got to host Top of the Pops, then Zig and Zag should have hosted.
Are you
they should have hosted it with Spice Girls, because Zigga Zigga. Oh, why didn't no one think of this in 1996?
Maybe they do. Maybe it was one of those things where it's just like, maybe the Spice Girls should meet Zig and Zag. I think you've had too much cocaine. Let's wait until the morning.
No. In the 90s, no one ever said you've had too much cocaine.
Of course.
Paul McCartney was so ripped off his tits, he gave us the frog chorus. Yeah. So no, those words have never crossed pop stars' lips.
Yeah.
Hi. Andrew here with a bit of an interjection. I did Google whether Zig and Zag were ever on Top of the Pops. Because they were big in the 90s, they did release a couple of novelty singles and were introduced on the show. Fortunately, they were introduced by Gary Glitter, so we will not be including a clip of Zig and Zag on Top of the Pops. And now back to our regularly scheduled programme.
But anyway, we're not here to judge the behaviour of pop stars. We're here to talk about Dragon Ball Z, and funnily enough, since we last did our episode about Dragon Ball, we have received emails that I have saved for the Dragon Ball Z episode.
Okay.
Because, you know, I like to think that this stuff is planned out.
Yeah.
When it isn't. Our email is from Riley Smith. Hello, Riley.
Hello, Riley.
Hello, Andrew and Michael. It's oddly fitting you all are covering Akira Toriyama's Dragon Ball, because I first found your show around 10 years ago through an ad on Michael Bailey's excellent Views from the Long Box, a show I discovered through an ad on Donovan Morgan Grant and Jesse Garrett's The Next Dimension, a Dragon Ball Z podcast. It's cyclical.
Cyclical, yeah.
It's like poetry.
It rhymes.
It rhymes, yeah. A full circle moment only I would remember or care about. fur, yeah. I guess. Dragon Ball was a series I was obsessed with for much of my adolescence. Not just the manga, which I've never actually read from beginning to end, but the anime, movies, games, and any other media I could get my hands on, until I just got burned out on it. I've since sold all of my Dragon Ball possessions, but your coverage of the opening arc has reminded me how much fun the manga was and made me want to go back and read the whole thing to get Toriyama's original streamlined version of the story. Well, the thing with that is if you get rid of all your Dragon Ball possessions, right, after a year,
yeah,
couldn't you just hunt them out again?
Hey.
I paid attention.
You paid attention?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course, you mentioned Dr. Slump, and I can't recommend it enough if you all haven't read it. It remains to this day one of my favourite comic series, East or West. I also recommend Toriyama's other series, Kawa, Sandland, and Jacko the Galactic Patrolman. All fit nicely with Dragon Ball and showcases unique vision and design style. Have you read any of those?
So, the Dr. Slump is an awkward one. I think because it's very much overshadowed by Dragon Ball, I think... Volume, it's never had a nice reprint or anything. Volume 1 is easily available from most major shops, I'm sure. For about,
and some minor shops.
Yeah. For your typical price, like, you know, £6-7, however much manga is, every other volume, of which I think there's 12, is just out of print.
Right.
You just can't get it, so it's quite difficult. I'm sure there's means and ways, but not
easy. It'll be all an archive, probably.
Sandland has just had a video game made, so I think that's just been reformatted as a nice little package.
Yeah, right.
And Jacko the Galactic Patrolman is incredibly frustrating because that has been collected... I think it came out around the time that Toriyama was writing Dragon Ball Super. It's a surprise prequel where Jacko, the Galactic Patrol, essentially a Green Lantern, teams up with Bulma Brief's dad. And it ends...
So it's in Dragon Ball continuity?
Yeah.
Right.
And the last story in it is a bonus feature, which is about Goku's dad finding out that the planet is doomed and is about to be destroyed, so sends his last son to Earth to save him.
Right.
Which sounds familiar.
Right.
But yeah, it's really difficult to get, because you can read it on Viz's website easily, fine, but as an actual physical release, you can find it in Japanese, fine. You can find it in German, fine, but in English, no, it's a stupid amount. And I think Dana found it on this web World of Books or Wordery or something on the eBay store. No cover. It was £7. And we're like, is this the English version? Is this the German version? So she got in touch and she emailed them and just go, we don't know, look on our website. Looked on the website, it's not there. So now it's sat in my basket waiting for me to just be curious enough to pull the trigger and to see which version it is.
All right. Okay. All right. So good recommendations, though, because the Galactic Patrolman one, that sounds quite interesting. Michael, you've got to play Chrono Trigger, dude.
Yeah.
I'm close to you in age and played it for the first time last year and couldn't believe I'd been missing out on this piece of Toriyama-adjacent goodness all my life.
Yeah. So that's the other... If Dragon Quest is primarily Nintendo, it's been another console since, but it's primarily Nintendo, Chrono Trigger was like one of the big... JRPGs for the PlayStation and Toriyama did that. I think it was just one of those things similar to maybe like Final Fantasy or something. It was just never something that hooked me. You know, I've since played Final Fantasy games since, but they are what they are. But yeah, Chrono Trigger is one of those where I'm interested enough because of Toriyama, but I'm not huge on JRPGs and that anyway, so maybe I'll give it a go on that recommendation if I can get a hold of it.
Okay. Well, I guess that's enough rambling and recommending from me. Looking forward to the next show, and you all take care of yourselves. Sincerely, Riley Smith, potential relapsed Dragon Ball fan. Well, thank you very much, Riley. I'm glad you emailed in about the Dragon Ball show.
And it's similar to Riley as well. Dragon Ball Z used to be huge, and I used to have toys and all sorts.
And fish named Goku and Gohan.
And fish named Goku, yeah. and I still have some of them, actually. But
not the fish.
Not the fish, no. But it was one of those things where just like it was huge at the time, but then you just kind of move past it a bit. And it was only when I mentioned in the Dragon Ball show, Toriyama passing, and I'm watching old clips, and I was like, this is just really good, isn't it? And that kind of got me back onto it. Surprisingly, Dana really enjoyed it as well, so that's made it easier to rewatch
it. Binge through it.
So yeah, it's been like a relapse, a Dragon Ball relapse.
Yeah, well, that's what he says. So good. So if we've rekindled his Dragon Ball Z love, that's a good thing, and we're glad you enjoyed the show. We hope you enjoyed this Dragon Ball Z show that we're doing today. We have another Dragon Ball email. Rob McCarthy's emailed in. Rob translated Dragon Ball. I was in Vizzy's mail room during Dragon Ball. We censored a lot, and people knew every letter was more Wang. Not sure how to take that. There are people emailing in saying, can we see more penises, please?
To be fair, there's something about little kid Goku where every time, like, he goes to the toilet like Butter, he lifts his shirt up the entire way, and he just struts around with his... Every time, it's, like, the best thing, and I'm like, yes, more Goku Wang. And it's... out of context, it sounds bizarre.
Yes, in context, it doesn't sound great. Can we see more of the child's penis, please?
He's just a funny little dude. Yeah. Every time, it's like, just you do you, dude.
Is it not like that bit in Superman, where he just walks out of the spaceship and goes, ta-da!
Like that, yeah. But every time you do it, it's the funniest thing. And every time you think, this cannot continue to be funny, but it does.
But it does continue to be funny throughout. Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much, Riley and Rob, for emailing in about Dragon Ball. But today, it's all about Dragon Ball Z.
So it's no secret to anyone who was alive during the early 2000s just how big of a cultural phenomenon that Dragon Ball Z was across the entire world. And while it may never reach the heights it did in those early 2000s, it still remains a huge household name.
Well, it's funny. Mm. I don't mean to interrupt you in your spiel, but I've noticed since we did that show...
Mm.
It's in Primark.
Yeah.
You don't get much more mainstream in this country
Primark
than it being in Primark.
Yeah. And I think it's helped. It's just had a brand new TV show as well. But it was one of those things, like, it kind of never... Like Pokemon.
Mm.
Pokemon never really got...
It's never gone away.
As big as it was, but it's never gone away. Yeah. Like, it's always been there. You always see people wearing, like, a Dragon Ball t-shirt kind of thing. But yeah, it was huge, and mostly it was due to this intentional rebranding of the long-running anime series. The manga of Dragon Ball would stay the same for its entire 519 chapter run, but the anime counterpart would finish and be relaunched under a brand new, slightly different name. So Akira Toriyama's editor at the time for Dr. Slump and the first half of Dragon Ball, Kazuhiko Torishima, felt that the ratings of the anime were declining and blamed this on the show having a cute and funny image attached to it from having the same producer work on both that and Dr. Slump. So audiences were ignoring the more serious aspect of the series. Impressed with their work on Saint Seiya, Torishima asked director Kozo Morishita and writer Takeo Koyama to help with a soft reboot on Dragon Ball to coincide with Goku growing up. Toriyama's contribution was in naming the reboot Dragon Ball Z, with the Z, the last letter of the alphabet, being symbolic of how Toriyama just wanted the series to end as he was running out of ideas. The irony of this, though, is that not only would Z last more than twice as long as Dragon Ball, but would spawn three sequels, two of which were co-written by Toriyama.
So he got over his writer's block, then?
It's a recurring theme, Toriyama wanting to quit his book. The anime would start by adapting chapter 195 and run straight through to the chapter 519, as well as adding filler episodes when the anime needed to slow down until there were more chapters of the manga to adapt. Most famously was the Garlic Jr. run, which is a sequel to a straight-to-video film.
Mm.
And also there's a story arc where Piccolo and Goku need to get their driver's license or learn to drive, and they're both like, but we can fly, but they needed to fill in, so they get a driver's license.
Okay.
It's fun. amazingly as well, the video game Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, which adapts the anime as like a playable RPG, also includes a mini game where you have to learn to drive.
Mm.
It's great.
I'll take your word for that.
All the while, Toriyama continued to focus on the manga, becoming more interested in the writing process than the drawing, and often becoming so frustrated with the process that he tried to end the book several times. Unable to end it due to its success, he instead simplifies his art style and came up with ways to cut corners, but in ways that would complement the book. Most famously was the creation of Super Saiyans, with their iconic blonde hair being a means to him saving ink.
Clever.
But despite his frustrations, Dragon Ball Z became an international hit and created all new fans across the globe. Many argue that some of Toriyama's best work lies within the pages of Dragon Ball Z, and reading it only shows just how influential it was, not only in other anime and manga, but also in American comics too, as we'll discuss later.
Mm-hmm.
Like Dragon Ball before it, Dragon Ball Z is broken up into arcs, typically named after the main villain of that arc, Frieza, Cell, Boo, but none are more iconic than the very first, the story that ushered in a new era of Dragon Ball and introduced a whole world outside of Japan to Goku, his friends, and their many adventures. It is the Saiyan Saga. So again, like we did with Dragon Ball, we're covering this in the Vizbig, the big 3-in-1 kind of semi-deluxe edition. It is more or less collects all of it. I think it continues ever slightly. The Saiyan Saga is broken up into two arcs, the Raditz arc and the Vegeta arc, and I think we kind of just tip over because there's not really a good place to finish. But this covers, for those interested, the first three volumes: The World's Greatest Team, The Lord of Worlds, and Earth versus the Saiyans. And it's mostly going up to roughly chapter 33 of Dragon Ball Z. It would be different of Dragon Ball. Because to this day, the only version of Dragon Ball that is has an English translation but also retains Dragon Ball for the entire 519 chapter is the Vig, the cheap 3-in-1 volumes that they did, so the smaller ones to this. They are Dragon Ball all the way through. They don't relaunch as Dragon Ball Z.
Right.
It's been 5 years since the end of Dragon Ball, when Goku defeated Piccolo Jr. at the 23rd World Martial Arts Tournament, and the world is at peace. Having not seen each other in that time, Goku decides now is the time to pay a visit to the Kame House and introduce his friends, Master Roshi, Bulma, Krillin, Yamcha, Oolong and Pu'er, to his son, Gohan. Goku wants to train Gohan to fight just like him, but Gohan has other ideas instead, and, to the light of his mum, Chi-Chi, wants to be a scholar instead. The reunion is cut short, however, by a mysterious character who arrives at the scene claiming to be Goku's older brother. His name is Raditz, and he belongs to the great Saiyan warrior race, as does Goku, whose real name is actually Kakarot. The Saiyans travel from planet to planet, eliminating all life on them so they can sell the desolate planets to the highest bidder. But after a great asteroid crashed into their home planet, Vegeta, only 4 Saiyans are left, including Kakarot. Kakarot was deemed weak as a baby and so was sent to Earth, a planet with a low power level, in order to prove his worth. But an accidental fall and a bump on the head meant that baby Kakarot completely changed his personality, resulting in the friendly Goku we know today. Raditz has come to Kakarot now to recruit him into helping him deal with a particularly tricky planet, but Goku refuses. It's then that Raditz notices Gohan hiding behind his father, and also notices that Gohan, like all Saiyans, has a monkey tail. Raditz grabs Gohan and offers Goku an ultimatum: prove his loyalty to the Saiyan race by killing 100 people in 24 hours, or watch his son, Gohan, die, and he flies off with his hostage. Piccolo reveals that he was behind the house listening in on the conversation the entire time. He and Raditz had fought somewhat after Raditz's arrival on Earth, and Piccolo was shocked at his raw power. Alone, neither he nor Goku have a chance, but together, the two rivals just might be able to defeat Raditz and save Gohan. Using Bulma's old dragon radar to track Gohan's 4-star ball, they find Raditz back in his space pod where he's hidden Gohan inside. The three fight, but Goku and Piccolo are no match for Raditz. Gohan watches on, scared and angry at the fight, until, to the surprise of everyone, his power level rises to impossible levels and he smashes out of the pod in a rage and breaks Raditz's power armor before passing out, his power level returning back to normal. Spying their opportunity, Goku grabs Raditz from behind and tells Piccolo to hit him with his special beam cannon, knowing full well that the beam will kill him too. Piccolo complies, and as Raditz and Goku lie dying, Piccolo tells Raditz that Goku's friends will most likely bring him back, using the power of the Dragon Balls. Raditz laughs though. His scouter that allows him to track the power levels of individuals has also been transmitting everything Piccolo just said back to the other Saiyans, both more powerful than he. And he tells Piccolo that they'll be on their way to Earth now for the power of the Dragon Balls, and will arrive exactly 1 year from now. Goku's body mysteriously vanishes as he's taken to the other world by Kami, the guardian of Earth and the creator of the Dragon Balls. Kami takes Goku to the Snake Trail and tells him that on the other side, he'll meet King Kai, who will train him to become even stronger so that he'll be ready when the Saiyans arrive. Meanwhile, back on Earth, having seen Gohan's huge burst of power, Piccolo decides that he will take the boy to train himself. Piccolo leaves Gohan in the wilderness for 6 months as a test of character and watches him as he grows stronger, even learning the hard way that just like his father before him, Gohan also turns into a giant rampaging monkey under the full moon. Goku, meanwhile, trains with King Kai and is taught the ultimate technique, the Spirit Bomb. Finally, the day comes and the two Saiyans, Vegeta and Nappa, arrive on Earth. Waiting for them are Krillin, Yamcha and former World Martial Arts Tournament contestants Tien Shin Han and Chao Tzu, as well as Piccolo and Gohan. Deeming the fighters to be below him, Nappa uses the Cybermen, small aliens that grow from seeds, to fight for him. Always cocky, Yamcha defeats one of the Cybermen, but is caught in a blast when one of them self-destructs and is killed. Enraged, Krillin launches a blast that defeats all the remaining Cybermen. Vegeta watches the group go to attack Nappa but struggle to cause harm. Multiple tactics are tried and tested, but nothing seems to weaken the towering brute. Gohan luckily manages to get in a surprise kick and knocks Nappa off guard, but the Saiyan responds by hurtling a huge deadly blast towards him. At the last second, Piccolo, the great demon king, stands in front of Gohan and saves him from the blast, but is mortally wounded in the process. As he lies dying, Piccolo tells Gohan that he actually enjoyed training the boy and blames him for making him weak. Elsewhere, Bulma has collected all the Dragon Balls and summons the dragon god Shenron to wish Goku to come back to life. The wish is granted, but Goku is still in the other world on King Kai's planet, and he rushes back along the Snake Trail as fast as he can. He arrives just in time and uses his new abilities to wipe the floor with Nappa, becoming angrier at the sight of his friends who have been killed or wounded by him. Nappa begs for forgiveness from Goku's rage, and Vegeta, sickened by this weakness in Nappa, kills him himself with his single blast. Goku decides to end this now and tells Krillin to take everyone back to Kame House where they'll be safe, and turns to Vegeta. Goku challenges Vegeta to a fight, but not here. They'll go somewhere else, somewhere with no life, so there's no chance of harming anyone when they unleash their full strength.
So it's not even a complete story.
It's not. It never. Dragon Ball Z doesn't really end. It just keeps going.
No, it's just continuing. Even when it does it end?
No, so you've got... It's very soap opera-y at times. Mm. And you get the arcs kind of have an ending, but then you've got subplots and things that kind of go on. And the big thing about Dragon Ball Z, it's a very multi-generational tale.
Mm.
So Dragon Ball was just about Goku, and Goku grows up. By the end of it, he's married and he's grown up. And you got 5 years past. And when you start, Goku is a farmer. He's married. He's got a son. And it focuses more on Gohan. And Gohan grows up. And Gohan ultimately becomes the main character until he is married and has children. And then it follows his children to an extent. So it's very multi-generational. Everyone that you kind of meet in Dragon Ball, by the end of Dragon Ball Z, is a parent or married, and it's very large in its soap opera narrative.
See, because his girlfriend, wife, Chi-Chi, is burly in this.
Yeah.
And what he says about her isn't entirely complimentary.
Yeah. And it's there's great bits to later on when Vegeta and Bulma get married. And because Goku's so clueless and all he cares about is fighting, I think it's in Dragon Ball Super later on. It's like, come on, we've got to go train. It's like, my wife is heavily pregnant. She can go into labor, but she's the one delivering the baby. Why can't you come train? And he's like, how have you been married so long?
It is a good question. So, because I'm wondering, did Chi-Chi have some more to say in later volumes?
Well, it's one of those things with Toriyama kind of working on the anime as well. Sometimes the anime, with the power of hindsight to a degree, will fill in some gaps.
Mm.
Like in this, Piccolo just takes Gohan and that's that. In right. The anime, you see Chi-Chi learning about Goku dying and about that. So,
yeah, because she doesn't know that in this.
No.
She's barely registered as being in it.
The thing about the anime in the manga is it's very much just Toriyama's work, and it's streamlined. in the way that he's just making it all up as he goes along. With the anime, you've got other people working on it that goes, right, well, why don't we show this? Why don't we have that as well?
Hmm.
So it's kind of, the manga's more raw, but the anime actually has some kind of afterthought to it.
And fills in the details.
Yeah.
And what I liked about the art, it starts off with Goku taking Gohan to see all his old friends from Dragon Ball.
Mm.
And the art starts off looking like Dragon Ball. And then, but as it turns around and Yaditch shows up, it becomes Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, you can see he's, and especially compared to the volumes of Dragon Ball, you can see...
There's definitely an evolution to the art style, and it happens almost in between pages.
Mm.
Like, did he do that deliberately? Does he make the opening pages of this look like Dragon Ball and then ease you into what Dragon Ball Z will look like?
Potentially, yeah.
I mean, I don't know that.
No.
I'm just asking you. I think the art in this is lovely. Again, we've talked about the idea that some people dismiss the art in manga as just being big eyes and speed lines.
Mm.
There's none of that in here.
No.
There are big eyes and speed lines because that's part of the manga style. But the actual sequential storytelling, you could probably still follow what's going on here if you didn't read it.
Yeah.
It's proper comics storytelling.
And it's very kinetic. Yeah. And it's super fast-paced.
Like, yeah.
It's, a lot goes on and it's quite dense, but it's very quick to read. And it's not as if it skims on anything. You've got whole dumps of exposition and character storytelling.
Yeah, and where these characters have come from and why he's here. And all of that's really, really exceptionally done. The bit where Yaditz actually beats Goku, I genuinely did go... Because I didn't know that a thing in this is he will kill characters off and bring them back and kill characters off and bring them back. Whereas in this one, does actually kill Goku off and follows him to the afterlife.
It was something you can kind of start seeing where he wanted to become a bit more serious towards the end of Dragon Ball with the Piccolo saga. And he does kill off a couple of characters in that.
Mm.
Because
he kills off loads in this.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No one's safe in this. The only issue with that is they just bring him back with the Dragon Balls. So he has to retcon it so that if the Dragon Balls have brought you back to life...
They can't do it again. Goku's died and been resurrected.
Yeah.
So they can't bring him back.
But then they'll retcon that and they'll go to like, oh, well, Piccolo and isn't actually a demon king. He's an alien from another planet.
Of course he
is. And they've got their own Dragon Balls.
Oh, right, okay.
So it comes a bit... Toriyama gets a lot of flack for his writing, and on one hand, that's true, he's making it up. It does
sometimes feel like he's making it up as he goes along.
So it does just get very kind of trivial,
yeah.
And I know the Buu saga, especially the final saga of Dragon Ball Z, gets a lot of flack for just how out of steam it gets, but how many ideas are thrown at the wall. But Toriyama's writing is still really good. Like I mentioned earlier, this was the introduction for us. When we were watching this on Toonami, it started with that farmer.
Right. So you never saw Dragon Ball?
No. So it introduces all these characters. And at no point were you just like, were you lost? Were you confused?
Mm.
You got who these characters were. Even here, that introduces you to them and you just kind of accept it and roll on. And they kind of give you enough exposition for it to work. Most surprisingly as well is if you were reading this in Japan at the time, and you're about, 200 or so chapters into it?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the main character of this book just has such a massive plot twist revelation that he's actually an alien from another planet is absurd, but it works.
Where it didn't work in Highlander, which is why we started talking about Highlander, wasn't it? That they did essentially the same plot twist in that.
Yeah.
That he's not an immortal, he's an alien.
Yeah.
And everyone rejected it.
Right.
And went, no, that's bullshit. Whereas in here, you kind of go, oh, okay.
And yeah, it's just really worked. Mm. There's no kind of moment where he has to kind of introduce everyone. Like, you know, Crisis on Infinite Earths. No one has to go, and I'm Master Roshi, do this.
Well, he accomplishes all of that, really, with the cast of characters at the beginning.
Yeah.
And even if you don't know who they are, it kind of gives you a vague idea of their relationships to each other.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
The biggest surprise being that Gohan has a son, to everyone's surprise that Goku has a son even.
Mm.
But yeah, named after Gohan after his granddad, and he's got the 4-star Dragon Ball, which was the last thing Goku had to remember his granddad as well.
And he's incredibly cute, Son Gohan. He seems a lot smarter than you would think at 4 years of age.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I thought that it opens and it's really just fast and propulsive. And you would do yourself the injustice of thinking that he is just fighting.
Mm.
Because there is a lot of fighting in it. But at the same time, a lot of character is revealed in the fighting.
Yeah.
Which I thought was quite interesting. And it's a revamping of the Dragon Ball concept, which is why when you only watched it as Dragon Ball Z, it worked.
Mm.
Dragon Ball feels not as grown up as this.
Yeah.
Which works because Goku was a kid.
Yeah.
But now you've followed Goku into adulthood.
Yeah.
The strip has evolved with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's not as much of the, like, crass sexual humour in this.
It's
that's gone away.
There to a degree, but that's not what it
was. Yes, this isn't what it's. And the slapstick's been toned down.
Yeah.
It's matured as Goku has matured, and presumably as the readership has matured.
Yeah, and one of the fascinating things about going through Dragon Ball is you can see that evolution. So by the time you jump here, it's kind of already happened.
Mm.
Whereas in Dragon Ball, you've got this, and this is genuinely where I think Dragon Ball peaks.
Mm.
You've got a run, it's a good hefty chunk at the midpoint, and it genuinely hits its stride when Goku doesn't quite mature, but he takes on this entire army because he feels like, well, if I don't, who will?
Yeah.
And then he befriends these people, and then because of him, someone ends up dying. And then Goku kind of takes this responsibility where he decides now, well, right, I've got to keep training to get stronger so that I can protect people like this.
Yeah.
And he meets his granddad again, the spirit of his granddad, and he's like, you've grown up so much and that kind of thing. And so from this point on, you can see Goku become who he is here.
Mm.
And it's one of the things that I found just so fascinating watching it now. And it's like, this made sense as a kid. All the good guys want to be stronger to protect their friends and family. And all the bad guys want to be strong to be strong.
Mm.
And it's this, it never points that out. It never explains that. But you just start getting these dynamics and it's just like, the good guys just care about each other and that's what makes them good. That gives them strength.
Yeah, because I also like that after the big fight scene, Piccolo takes Gohan away to train him. And he's proper mean on him, given that he's 4 years old. You know, you see him get beaten up and have a black eye. Yeah. And he's got an awful lot of stuff put on his shoulders for such a young lad. I did like the subversion of expectation as well, that the Saiyans talk about using the Dragon Balls to bring Raditz back to life.
Yeah.
And then they kind of go, nah, let's do something for us.
Well, it's that kind of, the big shock of it, isn't it? That Raditz has given them so much trouble. He's literally cost the life of Goku.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's, yeah, no, he was weak.
Yeah.
He was like bottom tier. No one cares about him. And that's, you've just got this big threat then. You mentioned earlier about the influence that it had on American comics. Already right off the bat, you've got Superman's origin as Goku. And then you've also got, there's a lot of Invincible would come from this.
Yeah.
You've got this alien race who only the strongest survive. They wipe out entire civilizations. It's very easy to see how influential this has been and how deep it's kind of set its roots within other types of story as well.
But the inverse is also true as well. This is Superman 2.
Yeah.
This entire plot is Superman 2. You've got Vegeta standing around and being all condescending, so General Zod.
Yeah.
Whilst Tenshinhan and Yamcha get their asses handed to them.
Yeah.
Which reminds me of Superman 2. And the whole plot is that aliens from another world with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men come to Earth to subjugate, and the only person who can stop them is a fellow native of their own world who's outclassed and outgunned.
Yeah.
It's the same plot, isn't it? But, you know, it doesn't matter because it's incredibly well done. I loved all the afterlife stuff, which only really happens in Volume 3, or is it in Volume 2 that he goes to the afterlife?
I think it's in throughout 2, well, and 3.
Yeah, because they carry on fighting him.
Yeah.
They carry on fighting Yaditz in Volume 2.
Yeah.
And just keep getting beaten. And who dies? Yamcha dies. Yamcha,
which is was a shock, but only in hindsight. So, again, generations of people think Yamcha's a bit of a joke because he dies first.
Yeah.
Whereas, again, when you go back and realise that he's grown up and evolved and gotten stronger with Goku as well, this was actually quite, even though I knew it was coming, it was a big shock. It's like, oh no, he's literally been with him since the beginning.
Well, I didn't read it knowing that he comes back.
Right, yeah.
That was after I read this.
Yeah.
I did my usual due diligence while we're doing the research for the show and all, and I read what happens next.
Yeah.
And it becomes a bit of a joke the amount of time they kill Yamcha and bring him back.
Yeah.
But this first death of him was quite affecting because you know him from Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
He's a regular character.
Yeah.
So to have Yaditz just kill him straight off the bat was quite a shock.
It's a very bold move as well, just to show you where the stakes are now as well.
That this is one of them.
Yeah.
And there is an entire race of these. I hadn't put the Viltrumite stuff from Invincible together, but you're right.
Yeah.
That is pretty much the same plot as Invincible.
Yeah.
I'm only one of us.
Yeah.
So you may stop
and
me.
And I'm the weakest as well.
Yeah, but you're not going to stop an entire race of us.
Yeah.
So I quite like that. There's not as many colour bits in, and certainly there's a lot more humour derived from Goku in the afterlife.
Yeah.
Than there is down on Earth where everyone's getting their ass kicked.
There's just kind of throwaway stuff. Like,
him having a halo was brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, that was genius.
Like, Toriyama just loved to include stuff that just made him laugh.
Yeah.
So King Kai lives on this tiny little planet but has a Cadillac.
Yeah.
Because why not?
Why not? And he's got to follow the Yellow Brick Road.
Yeah.
Which amused me. I thought that was all the afterlife stuff I found was genuinely quite fun.
It's like a nice little tonal break just to kind of catch your breath a little bit.
From everything else that's happening too. But volume 2 and 3, I didn't stop reading them. So I'd take breaks.
Yeah.
I'd read volume 1 and okay, well, I'll take a break now. But when I sat down to read the rest of it, I kind of just powered through the whole thing.
And when it starts to kind of build up steam.
Yeah.
The thing about Dragon Ball Z as well is it's very kind of jokingly well known that you'll just have entire episodes that's the same fight. And it's true, though, really, to an extent. You just get two and a half volumes of this is just the same fight.
Yeah. But Piccolo especially keeps having to build up and having to build up.
Yeah.
And then when he gets his arm cut off,
yeah,
that's a bit savage. But again, he just grows it back.
Yeah.
So I do kind of get that little criticism that there doesn't seem retrospectively to be any stakes to it.
Yeah.
But if you're reading this cold like I did,
yeah,
some of that was quite shocking.
Yeah, there's surprisingly big stakes, but none at all.
Yeah.
In fact, so when I mentioned the Buu saga and how it just gets a little bit silly, the entire Earth gets blown up, but then they just use the Dragon Balls to bring everyone back.
To bring the Earth back?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's a bit silly. I liked that as the fight continues, then once Goku achieves what he's got to achieve, he's then got to get back to Earth.
Yeah, that was a funny bit. They brought him back to life, but because Otherworld is an actual plane of existence, he's still got to travel the entire snake trail again.
He's got to walk back down the snake trail. I love that he thought that the monkey was the ruler of world, not the actual ruler of world.
Yeah.
But the monkey's just his pet. So he's talking to him, and that bit reminded me of Dragon Ball, because it's Goku being quite sweet and naive.
Yeah, it's the funny thing about Goku is he grows up, but he never really matures. He's still kind of the same. And everyone else around him is growing up. And everyone else around him, he's friends like Krillin, and even Master Roshi are going, he's surpassed us, we're not as strong as him anymore. We've got to kind of step back a bit and let him go on. But he's still just this naive, silly boy at heart.
Yeah, and he's quite fun. I did read there's some controversy about what's that character's name?
Mr. Popo had to have his
he had to be toned down.
They basically had to just remove his lips. He has quite big, thick lips. And
because the racism essentially associated with that stereotype.
Yeah.
So I'd read that because when I was reading it, obviously that's not in here because they've toned it down.
Yeah.
So he actually comes across as quite a good character in it.
Yeah.
None of the characters are boring.
No, and it's why I think it remains so fresh.
Yeah.
One of the things I was surprised about is this Saiyan arc, it's one that we've seen loads. Very famously, Toonami, when it ran out of dubbed episodes, it would go right back to the beginning.
Just play them all again.
So loads of people hate that farmer because whenever we saw him, it meant that we had to watch everything again. and weirdly as well, by this one time it caught up, and I think another dubbing company got the rights, so it was completely different voice actors after that.
Mm. But I did question how Goku can't know that Gohan becomes a monster at the full moon at this point.
Well, he never found out.
He knows. No, he doesn't. That's no, what I mean.
Goku never finds out. It's just a secret.
So he's never seen a full moon.
Well, Goku has.
But does Goku still become the monster? Or does he not?
He doesn't have the tail anymore.
Right. So he's okay. So Gohan has never seen a full moon.
No,
until now.
They introduce as well the little retcon where they have to look at it. They can't just be a full moon.
Right. They have to see it.
Look at it. But it's very, very, very funny and silly. The way that Piccolo decides, I am going to solve this, is to blow up the moon.
Yeah.
He stops the monkey by just blowing up.
Because that will have no effects on the Earth whatsoever.
Oh, no, we're fine, we move past it.
So like Space 1999, we're just going to set the moon out of orbit. Yeah. Everything will be fine. There won't be tidal waves.
No.
There won't be mass destruction. Yeah. It'll be great. All right, okay, that makes perfect sense, I guess.
It's a well-known fact now, but kind of worth mentioning just in case it's new to you. All the Saiyans are named after vegetables.
Oh, are they?
So the planet Vegeta, vegetable. Vegeta's called Vegeta because he's the prince.
Yeah.
Radish, Kakarot, carrot.
Yeah.
Now
that you pointed it out, it's so obvious.
All the Saiyans are named after vegetables, yeah.
And I love how much they take Goku out of it.
Yeah.
And you're just, there's page after page after page of and it never becomes because you don't get home. You don't get home for, what, 100 pages?
Something like that, yeah. I think he's...
I see the end of the road and then we'll go back to Earth.
Yeah.
And then we go back to Goku and I see the end of the road. Have you not moved since we last saw you? But when he does come back, it is really satisfying and a really good payoff of the fact that you've waited 100 pages for him to come back. Piccolo saving Gohan is really effective.
It is, and even without knowing that he's the big final bad guy of Dragon Ball, he's a bastard at the start.
Oh, yeah.
He punishes this kid for no other reason than he just wants him to be stronger, but by the end of it, and he does this noble sacrifice.
Yeah. And then book three, he finally arrives back on Earth.
Mm.
And you get like that panel on the bottom of page 421.
Yeah.
The hero shot.
Yeah.
And then it becomes yet another fight. Page 422, sorry, you get a full on.
Yeah.
That's your moment. The quiet wrath of Son Goku.
Yeah.
Goku, sorry. I always mix up Goku and Gohan. I used to do when they were your fish. And I'm still doing it now. That's a great panel. There's not as much in this book, in terms of colour, as there is in the other ones.
Yes.
But the final fight scene is great. He shoves his fist down his throat. I like that the Saiyans spend most of it just watching.
Yeah.
Being smug.
And Vegeta's just kind of standing to the side.
Yeah.
I mean, it would have its payoff. Unfortunately, in the next volume, you do get the next big chapter, which is the Vegeta stuff.
Yeah.
Because even Vegeta's a fascinating character. Like, he starts as the big villain here.
Hmm.
And him and Goku end up being best buds. And their kids are best buds. And he's married to Bulma.
And what I didn't like was that last chapter, Mano a Maniac.
Mm.
Starting on page 478. Why does the art suddenly look like it was in colour?
Yeah.
And it's been reproduced in black and white. It's not got the same clean art style.
I'm not sure if it was just a bit heavy on the ink wash or... Because I don't think they would have...
But again, six pages in, it goes back to normal.
It could have just been the way it was printed in Shonen. Mm. That just kind of...
But it seems to me that if you're following the format of the others...
Yeah.
That should have been in colour.
Yeah, which makes me think that it wasn't.
Yeah.
Maybe it was just, an ink wash, because sometimes they'll do that as well. But I'm not sure what was going on with it.
And then it ends.
Yeah.
It ends mid-fight.
Yeah.
So you kind of... And have you got the other ones of these?
No. So I got this one, because these volumes, they're not hard to get a hold of.
Yeah.
But... I'm mostly getting them from Blackwell's, because Blackwell's have got all of them, but they're never in stock at the same time.
Mm.
So I bought Volume 1 of Dragon Ball and Volume 1 of Dragon Ball Z, basically just because they were in stock at the same time.
Yeah.
And then I think Volume 9 keeps selling out a lot. Basically, they're never in stock for a long time. And if you look in other places, they're significantly more expensive. If you're going to get these, Blackwell's is the place to be.
Apparently. So they don't have them in Waterstones? Because they've got a massive manga section.
I've never seen these in an actual shop.
All right, because I'm sure they were in Liverpool when we were in over Christmas. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
And I can't remember if it was the Waterstones in Liverpool, which is massive.
Yeah.
Or if it was the manga section of Worlds Apart.
Yeah.
Because they have all of downstairs in Worlds Apart now.
Yeah.
Is manga.
Right. Okay.
The comics are upstairs.
Yeah.
Along with the Gundam models.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a wall full of frigging Funkos. Downstairs is all manga now.
Right, okay.
So I don't know whether... I'm sure they had some of them in there.
Right, because I'd never seen them. And the only reason I got these as well is... It was set, I mean, it's me, isn't it? If I'm going to buy something, I want the nicer version of it.
Yes, you always want the nice one.
But they're really, really good. They're not hard to read, but they're not cheap. I think these are the best ways to read them. But I picked this up just because it was there. And then we ended up covering it. Just because this is probably like the most iconic Dragon Ball story in general. But... I'm still collecting Dragon Ball, and I'm reading those ones, and it's... What was quite interesting about that is the story arc in Dragon Ball that I genuinely found just so dull that I had to stop watching it for ages. It's barely in the manga.
Right.
I think it's like one chapter and we move past
it. So they're padding
it.
Out the cartoons yeah. with it, which is probably why you found it dull. But this goes back to what we've talked about before. Why are kids reading this and they're not reading comics? Well, look, that's $25. So what's that over here, $18.99?
Something like
look
that.
Look at
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Look how much reading material you get for your $18.99 though.
Yeah.
Versus how much a trade paperback is now £12 for five issues.
Yeah. If that.
I think maybe £15 now for five issues.
Yeah.
And they're really thin and flimsy.
Yeah.
Because of the paper stock. It's not really that much of a thought problem, no. is it?
And it helps as well, I think. I mean, I think this has been a thing for years, hasn't it? Where with manga, you buy volume one and you read it and you just follow the numbers.
Yeah. And even something like this,
yeah,
it does eventually end.
Yeah.
No matter how many volumes there are. Like, I'm looking at your shelf there and you've got 12 big, fat Lone Wolf and Cub volumes.
But that's it then.
But then that's it.
Yeah.
It's all done. There's the story. There's none of this that you frequently get on social media. I want to read some comics. Where's the best place for me to start with Batman?
Yeah.
Well... There isn't.
Yeah.
Is Batman Year One, give that a go.
Yeah.
But there's no sequential progress from that part on, is there? You could recommend, I don't know, all of Scott Snyder's run.
Yeah.
But would you recommend somebody who's never read Batman before start with New 52 Issue 1?
It's just that kind of difficult thing. And I know there's a lot of people who will go like, oh, you know, Japanese manga's better because of that. And it swings and roundabouts, really. But there is the kind of benefit, as most times with mangas like these, you just pick up volume one and you read it until it stops.
Yeah, there's not that conversation. I read this.
Yeah.
And I've only read the first volume of Dragon Ball.
Mm.
And I had no problem following what was going on or who everyone was.
Yeah.
And when I read Dragon Ball, it was this... Now, I know you're being introduced to the characters there, because that was the first story. But there was never any confusion about it, about who these people are or what they're doing.
Mm.
And one of the complaints that a lot of people, I think Eric Larson said...
Right.
On, I think he's on Threads now, not Twitter, that he picked up a couple of comics recently to see what's going on in Marvel and DC now, because he doesn't really follow them.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of them where, like, no effort is made... To explain who these people are.
Catch you up.
Yeah, so if you've not been reading it, you don't know who anything is or what's going on, you're not going to carry on reading it.
Yeah.
And whereas with this, I don't know how many people would pick up Dragon Ball Z from Volume 3, but it's very easy to say, right, there's Volume 1. If you like it, pick up the others.
Yeah. And it remains still just really fresh. It was the big thing that I was surprised about. I've seen the show so many times. I've played my friend Lewis, who has...
Reads it in the original Japanese.
Because he's... Yeah. And we were discussing like how many times throughout TV and games have we collectively fought Raditz. How many times have we heard the story and seen the story but sat down and reading it? It was just still incredibly fresh.
Yeah.
For something that came out in the mid-80s and has been told and retold constantly, it was still exciting. It was still fun. There's a great advert in Japan for the game Dragon Ball Z Kakarot where this businessman, this salaryman, comes home and he's worn out and he sees the kids playing and he pops into his convenience store or whatever, and he buys like a couple of tinnies or whatever, some snacks. But he's just bought this brand new Dragon Ball Z game, and he pops it in, and suddenly he's just got these flashbacks of Kamehameha and as a kid and sticking his hair up. And that's what it feels like. It just kind of reinvigorates this excitement that you had, that this gave you.
Yeah. At the end of this volume, are these all the covers of Shonen Jump?
The Shonen covers, yeah.
Because they're a nice addition as well.
I think there's one in...
Son Gohan's adorable.
Yeah. I think there's one in a volume of Dragon Ball where it was a cover for something else, but like Goku's popping out of it going, read me as well.
I'm in here as well.
Yeah.
So was Shonen Jump just all about Dragon Ball at this point?
Not necessarily, but I think it was probably like the biggest thing, because Shonen was just like, you maybe got like 10 pages.
Yeah.
But maybe it's like, I've read quite a bit of different Shonen stuff, but I've never actually read a Shonen Jump. But you got your Yu-Gi-Oh in there, you got your Bleach, your Naruto, your One Piece, that kind of thing. So you maybe got like 10, 15 pages.
Yeah.
But it was like 2000 AD. It's just the 2000 AD.
Just an anthology strip.
It's just an anthology.
Yeah. No, but then, that's a nice touch as well, having those at the back.
But then they probably get most of their money on the re-releases as well, isn't it? Like... Yeah,
you might. That's the thing as well. It's just in perpetual print.
Yeah, just constantly. Like, I don't think the Dragon Ball craze will ever... It's maybe not a craze anymore, but it'll never go away. And we've just... Since this... Again, there's been countless games. There was a less than successful American film, the Duncan Jones one.
Yeah.
You've had a director's cut version, Dragon Ball Z Kai, which... cuts out all the filler. It's a remaster of the show, but more faithful to the manga.
Really?
You've got Dragon Ball Super, which Toriyama wrote but didn't illustrate. You've got the Dragon Ball Daima, which has just come out now, which is the lasting tournament. Like, it's not going away. And it's a testament to how good these characters are. When you've got a cast list that's stupidly long, but all of them are instantly recognisable. All of them are a fan favourite. All of them are still knocking about.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not going away.
Yeah. Good. No, I enjoyed that. As with the original Dragon Ball, I enjoyed that as well. So, good. So what are you going to recommend next?
I don't know. Maybe we'll go for Initial D next.
Okay.
Initial D is... very, very 90s. Jumping on the Japanese rally mountain drifting craze.
Yeah.
And it's about a young boy who delivers tofu, but his he drives his dad's car, which is a Toyota Sprinter Trainer, AE86.
Yeah, I picked up the free comic book now.
Yeah. And as he does, all he wants to do is deliver tofu, because he delivers tofu, he's gotten really, really good at drifting and racing down these mountains, so that when a rival team of illegal street racers from another town come in and they've heard all about him, they challenge him, and he doesn't want to race them, but also he has to, and it's just stupid, silly car racing.
And maybe we should do Gatchaman and you can watch some Battle of the Planets.
Yeah, yeah.
But the original Japanese originals.
Yeah.
Not the bastardised ones. I love now we've got this new format. We can do what we want.
Do whatever we want.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for this time.
Yes.
Next time
we're doing
Ultimate Spider-Man.
We are.
We're going to do the Ultimate Spider-Man, the first omnibus, which is what? The first 20-odd issues?
40
issues?
It's the first 3 hardbacks.
Right, okay.
So that'll be 6 trades.
So 6 trades, 3 hardbacks, 1 omnibus. We're going to do that like we did Hellblazer.
Yeah.
So like a brief synopsis and then...
And it works well because it's Bendis, so...
Yeah, so it's very easy to blitz through.
You can wrap it up in like a sentence.
And then what we also want to do is, coming up for the new Superman movie...
Okay.
We should do The Road to Superman. And we should follow up... Do you remember we did Happy Birthday Superman?
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was his 70th.
Many moons ago.
So that's 10 years ago. It was the last time we did a Superman retrospective. We should both pick some Superman comics.
Okay.
And you're not allowed to pick any Grant Morrison.
Well, All-Star Superman is being, you know, a big...
All-Star Superman is... So. You can do... I'm not... There's no rules. I'm not really saying you can't do that. You can... There's no rules. You can do what you want.
So, we're just saying we do what we want on this new format.
We can do what we want. And All-Star Superman has been a big influence on whatever James Gunn's got up his sleeve.
Yeah.
So, if you want to do All-Star... Because we've only ever covered one issue of All-Star. We've done that. So that may be interesting.
I mean, it does look like a decent trailer, so...
Yeah, the trailer looked good. Yeah.
The trailer for Man of Steel looked good.
There is that. So the trailer for Phantom Menace is one of the finest movie trailers ever made.
The I mean, even the trailer for The Rise of Skywalker is a good trailer.
Yeah. And that's the best we can say about that. So next time on an all-new episode, Fake Kids Comics Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yes.
There's no anniversary, we're just doing it.
We're just doing it.
Because we both just read it.
Why not? We can do.
Because
we
can. And then Michael will put his thinking cap on and we'll probably do some more of this.
Just
manga stuff.
This manga stuff.
Yeah, because I'm going to be honest, I've quite enjoyed it. And at some point, we do need to do Lone Wolf and Cub and decide how we're going to do Lone Wolf.
Because it is called, I mean, we'll maybe do Akira at some point.
Yes, we'll have to do Akira as well. All right, then, we'll see you all next time.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Hey Kids Comics is a The Devil Will Make Work for Idle Hands to Do production and hosted by Andrew and Michael Leyland. All opinions expressed in the show are the opinions of the hosts and no one else. The free-to-use music that closes and opens the show was the sci-fi cyberpunk trailer by somebody called Stringer Bell on the Pixabay.com free-to-use website. Thank you very much to them. Every single episode of the show going all the way back to the beginning in 2010 is available on archive.org at the address archive.org/details/@APLUK, where you can fill your boots on over 15 years of classic episodes. If you would like to support the show, you can buy Michael and I, or both of us, or one of us, a coffee. Go to ko-fi.com, that's ko-fi.com/A Leyland. In 1 month, an all-new episode of Hey Kids Comics, coming in your ears. It's a date.